and welcome to the Kids Planet podcast.
An opportunity to explore the highs and lows of raising under fives. Here are your hosts from the Kids Planet marketing team.
So hello, it's Sarah Murphy here, joined today by Emily Norris, author and influencer, best known for addressing parenting issues with relatable and refreshing honesty. So hi, Emily.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good. So your social media channels are packed full of hacks and habits for families. How did you kind of get into this journey?
Yeah, well, I actually started 10 years ago. So I can't believe I started saying, it's been a decade that I've been making content. I know, on social media. But I started out with YouTube. And it was really because I had a three-year-old and a brand new baby. And I was on my second maternity leave. And I was just like really lonely and it's quite isolating when you have a baby for the first time or second time even. I just felt like, I was almost like looking for a community, and I loved watching the other mums on YouTube. So I started uploading little videos, and then it just really took off over time. And I think my best loved videos were my mum hacks. People seem to really like those. So I just shared more and more and more of those. And now it's all in a book in one place. But that's kind of how I started.
Yeah. And your book's called Things I Wish I'd Known.
Yes.
That's so exciting to have your own book.
Was that a proud moment? Yeah, it was really nice, actually, because it felt like, you know, I've been uploading three videos a week for 10 years. And it just felt like, it's like a real, culmination of everything in one place. And I called it Things I Wish I'd Known, because I was like, this is genuinely what I wish someone had just handed me when I had a baby. Like, here you go, read this and you're gonna have all this insight, because there were so many things that you just don't have a clue. It's really overwhelming, isn't it, when you become a new mum?
What were the biggest surprises then about being a parent? What are some of the main things that you wish you knew?
Well, there are so many.
I know. Having looked through your book, there are so many.
I know, there are so, so many. But I think it actually started out with, I was at a baby group with my first son. I think he must have only been weeks old. And someone said to me, I think he'd had a poonami. And one of the other mums in the play group said to me, I was like, oh no, it's going to be such a mess. I'm going to pull it up over his head and stuff. And she went, no. She was like, baby vests have really wide necks for this specific reason. So you can so you can pull them down as well as up. So I was like, it sort of blew my mind. I was like, what? I was like, how have I not known this? Yeah. And so that sort of started, you need to just pick up so many little hacks and tips along the way. So I started making a note of them and then sharing them, and other mums, it would just blow their mind as well. So that's kind of the first one that I was like, oh wow, I had no idea. But yeah, there's been many more moments like that along the way.
I bet. Looking back, if you'd known then everything that you know now, would it still have prepared you really for what was to come? Or do you think it is a case of kind of learning on the job?
Yeah, I think nothing can prepare you for the tiredness. When you're pregnant, everyone's like, oh, you're going to be so tired, make the most of the sleep now, et cetera, et cetera. But you actually don't realize you are going to be deliriously exhausted. So I don't think you could ever prepare for that. And yeah, I think a lot of it is learning on the job. But then some of the more practical things, or products or baby routines especially, that was one thing I felt like when I introduced a baby routine, it just transformed everything, because then I knew they were getting enough sleep, I was getting enough sleep. I knew when they wanted a snack. I knew when you can almost I feel like with a lot of motherhood, it's you lose so much control, which you're not used to because you're just looking after yourself. But by having a routine, it helped me to claw back a tiny bit of control of the situation. So stuff like that was really life changing. So I've included the routines that I did, because the good thing about YouTube is I sort of documented it all. Yeah. So I can remember all of it. I should just go back to the videos and see what I did.
Yeah. Do you think routine is always needed then?
I suppose it depends the type of person you are. Yeah. I personally love knowing what's coming up. I am a bit of a planner. Yeah. And I love to have, like I said, that tiny bit of control. I think there's some people that are just really chill and really calm. But for me, my children really thrived when I, you know, meals were at the same time, nap was at the same time. You know, I think I was quite relaxed in the way of like, oh, a nap can be in a buggy when we're out and about. Or I wouldn't let it like stop my life.
Yeah.
Whereas some books I read were like, you know, you need to be at home in a dark room in a cot. Like, I was much more relaxed than that. But yeah, just having that routine, I feel like for me, when I implemented that, everything felt easier. Yeah. So I don't know if it is just me, but I was like, oh, you're happier, I'm happier, this is great.
Yeah. And how you mentioned in your book about finding that joy in the everyday kind of routine and things going on. How do you kind of find that?
Well, I think for me, and I think that's also why people like my videos, like all the day in the lives and stuff that I would do, I sort of take the mundane of like getting up, getting ready, going to the soft play and try and make it like a bit more exciting and a bit inspirational. You know, let's put on a really nice outfit, even though we're just going to the soft play again. And like, yeah, just trying to make, yeah, finding those, the joy in the everyday, because now I'm the other side of it. Like, it does go so fast. And I hate to be one of those mums, you know, when people say that to you and you're like, oh, whatever. But it really does. And now I think, oh, I'd give anything to go back to, you know, one of those boring days. Yes, so nice. So yeah, I think it is really important. And like, I always used to think with babies, because it can be really hard work, I used to try and think of it like from their perspective, like you know, it's really hard being a baby. You can't communicate, you can't say what you want, you can't, you know, there's so many things. So I used to always try and, you know, have sympathy, even if they were up like all night. It was like for a reason. It wasn't just, you know, they're not just doing things for attention. It's like teeth are coming, they feel sick, you know, there's always something. So I think it's important to, I actually used to dress my babies up in baby grows that would say like, I love mum or I love mummy. Because in the night when you're just like, oh, I'd think, oh, that's a nice reminder. Because it would be at the age where they're not smiling yet. You know, I found that quite tricky.
Yeah.
It's like having a boss that gives you no feedback or gives you like just shouts at you like all day long.
It's definitely a good way to kind of reframe it in your mind, isn't it?
Yeah, because I used to think, oh, it's actually really hard being little. Like I remember once my son was really, really crying and I tried, you know, like nappy change, feed, burp, you know, all the usual things. And then after like half an hour of him crying, I just took his jumper off and he stopped. And I was like, oh my gosh, like you were just hot. Like you just didn't want your jumper on, you know?
Yeah.
So, hello, bless him. My poor first child, I didn't have a clue what I was doing.
I know. And something else that was interesting that you touched on was the differences that you noticed in your relationship with your partner since becoming a mum. Could you explain a bit more about that?
Yeah, it was interesting, actually, because when I wrote the book, I actually, my husband and I sat down and talked about, like, you know, tips from the dad's perspective. And it was so interesting. It was like therapy. We were talking about all this stuff that we hadn't really talked about. But I think in the very early days, I used to get super frustrated that he didn't just know like I did. Like, he didn't just seem to, like, know what to do. And
really, like less intuition kind of thing.
Yeah. And apparently, like, there is an actual thing, like our hormones mean that we are more likely to hear the baby cry at night. So yeah, like we're actually wired to, you know, listen, like barely be sleeping and, like, you know, hear that, whereas they're not. So when the baby would be crying and I'd wake up at night, I used to just resent him and think, oh, for God's sake, like, you know, why don't you just hear it? Or why don't you just know? But then our relationship got a lot better when I just started asking for what I wanted. I think I would get really frustrated. But then if I was just like, oh, can you change the nappy and can you feed them and can you, but like, if you just say what you want, like, he was never annoyed at that. It was just a lack of communication. And yeah, so I think that was a big thing to come out of it. And then from his perspective, I think it could be quite tricky as well, because I would breastfeed for like a year each of them. And then it can be quite hard for a man because they're just like, you know, during the birth, they're just kind of there, stood there like redundant. And then in the early days, they just kind of stood there. They can't, breastfeed. So, sort of from his side of things, it was also quite a hard time. Like he couldn't really do the right thing. So, there's a lot of that in the book and like how you can support your partner and how, you can help. Because I used to say to my partner, when I'm feeding him, you could get me a drink and make sure I'm eating. Because that's one thing you sort of like forget, don't you? You're like, oh, I actually haven't eaten today. And, you really need to be to heal and all of that stuff. There are quite a few practical tips and there's some funny bits as well of like how he felt about it all.
Really? Do you think after more than one child it got a little bit easier because you had that kind of routine and you knew what each other expected and things?
Yeah, I think we definitely did like grow and he did start like knowing more and more like what they needed and stuff. But then it's tricky with multiple kids because then often you're like, okay, I'll have this one, you have that one. So you almost like don't spend maybe as much time together. You're just like, and even now, our kids are older now. We've got a 13-year-old, 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. And like the amount of clubs they do, they've got incredible social lives. And it's like, we just seem to be taxiing them all over the place. So I think it is really important to find time for date nights and to reconnect and actually remember why you liked each other in the first place.
Do you tend to try and go on like a date night every week or 2 weeks?
Try to. It's so hard, but even if we make time at home, when the kids are in bed, if we're like, oh, I actually ordered one of those date night boxes you can get them on like Etsy and it's really cute. It came with like drinks in it, snacks, and then like, have you seen that trend of painting your partner? I don't know if you've seen that on Instagram. But it came with like little canvases and stuff. So like the idea is that you have a date night and you like paint each other, and obviously it's like really funny if they're terrible. And so I think like even like little things like that would be like, oh, when our kids were really little and they were in bed by 7, then we would eat together afterwards. So sort of like have some time, like chat to each other. So I think it is really important, and just communicate. And I think the worst thing you can do is what I did and like just build up that resentment of just like, oh, for God's sake, it's better to just talk about it, because they're not trying to be horrible. It's just, it's completely different.
Yeah, and you're already in an overwhelmed kind of state, aren't you? So yeah, totally.
Yeah, and especially in the early days, like you're so tired. One of my recommendations in the book is, that old saying, never go to bed angry.
Oh yeah.
But I think when you have really young kids, like go to bed angry, because you need to sleep. And then in the morning when you've had some sleep, then you can talk about it with like a clear head. It's going to be so much better than just staying up having this argument. Like,
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like don't do that saying when you're very young children, because it doesn't work.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Well, there's so many hacks and tips, so I thought we could try and touch on a few key topics. So what would you say are your kind of go-to tips for bedtime and sleep, that kind of thing?
Well, there's so many. Like the book is split into hacks, which are like really quick fixes, or there's also habits in it as well. So almost like the long-term things that would really help, which would be like your routines and stuff. But one hack that I absolutely loved for bedtime, which I did forever, and I think I've only just stopped doing it, but when mine were really little, I would layer the bedding in their cot. So it would be like mattress protector, sheet, mattress protector, sheet, mattress protector. I'd do it like 3 times. Because if your child was ever going to have an accident or a blowout or be sick in the night, it would always happen at like 3 a.m.
Right.
And so by layering it, you can just sort of come in, take off one of the sheets, take off one of the mattress protector, and like it's already done underneath. Like you don't have to then like remake the bed, go find it in the cupboard, like all of that stuff. So I found that like a really helpful one that I just did for ages, even when they were like toilet training and stuff. So I loved that one. And I think having a routine, I know I've said it a few times, it's quite boring of me to say again. Yes. But I really felt like it was so nice for me to think, okay, right, 6 o'clock, we're going up to the bath, and then we're going to do the book, and then we're going to, you know, and they knew it, and I knew it, and it just got them in a really great place to actually fall asleep. So, yeah, that was also something key. But there's actually so many other little hacks in the book, like even for travel. In the travel section, I say, like, one of the things that I pack when I go on holiday, especially when they were really little, is tin foil and sellotape.
Oh, right.
And people are like, why would you pack that? But if you, most hotel rooms aren't really that dark. Like, when you're trying to get a baby to have a nap in the middle of the day and it's so bright in your room, it would be so frustrating. But if you take tin foil and sellotape, you can tape the tin foil to the windows. And it makes it like pitch dark.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a really good tip as well that I did for years.
I love that. Okay.
Yeah.
And then, okay, so that's sleep, and then morning routine. How do you have any tips for that? How that can go?
Yeah, I mean, again, so hard, isn't it? Because like I do remember the days when morning could start at like 5 a.m. and be ridiculous. But yeah, there's actually some great, I did a section, I only included I think 12 recipes, but I've put some recipes in the book of like fail safe things that my kids just, they love to eat.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of meal prepping and batch cooking as well. And when you think of batch cooking or meal prepping, you mostly think of dinner, but I sometimes batch cook or meal prep breakfast because
it's a good idea. The only thing I've ever done with that is like morning oats. But yeah, I suppose there's no reason not to. But
yeah, it's so handy. And then like, yeah, overnight oats is a great one. But also like you can freeze pancakes, French toast as well. French toast freezes so well. So you can make it all up. And then each piece of bread has like a whole egg on it. So, you know, some great protein in the morning, and you can just take it out of your freezer, pop it in the toaster, and you've got like a good breakfast. You can give them some berries with it or whatever.
Yeah.
But I used to think, oh, that meal prepping breakfast actually would help me out so much. So there's little habits like that that you can do that just, yeah, improve your overall day when you're like, oh, it's just it, the thing is, it's like it's making a little bit of time to do it. So if you take 2 hours on a Sunday afternoon to do something like that, but then you can reap the benefits for 2 weeks, you know.
Yeah,
you're like, it's ready to go, it's right there. And that's a great one when they're at school as well, because school mornings are so like it's just chaotic. But if you know, oh, I could just grab this out of the freezer and, you know, they've had a good breakfast, you're sending them off with like enough in them to, you know, for their brain to work, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of what you want.
Oh, mm-hmm. And what are some kind of fun hacks on a budget, do you think?
Well, there's so many. In the book, there is a section on almost like rainy day hacks and things to do when you're kind of stuck indoor with the kids, and especially like, you know, summer holidays are coming up. So there's loads of fun hacks in that section. That one that springs to mind is I make Play-Doh, or I think people call it cloud dough, but it's so simple to just make one at home, like your own Play-Doh with just two ingredients. So it's pretty much two parts corn flour and one part hair conditioner. If you mix that together, and you know, you can add food coloring if you want, or some people like to add essential oil so it smells nice as well. It makes the most incredible Play-Doh. And if you have really little ones, you can replace the hair conditioner with yogurt. So it's completely edible. Like if they did put the Play-Doh in their mouth, it's not the end of the world because it's literally corn flour and yogurt.
Yeah.
So that's a really good one. And that's two things like people normally have in stock. So on a rainy day, you're just like, oh, what can we do? And then you're like, oh, we can do this. And it's like this really fun thing to do for the afternoon. And you can do something similar with slime. Not that it is a messy one. People might not appreciate this one. But if you mix corn flour and washing up liquid, like equal parts, my boys love doing that because it makes the most incredible slime.
I love that.
Yeah, so there's loads of like little tips and hacks like that, and games that I used to play with the kids, like with Play-Doh. We used to make our own like DIY surprise eggs, so they would like get little things from around the house. We'd put them in Play-Doh and they would just get so excited to open like their fake surprise eggs and
yeah
stuff like that. They love
it's like putting things into ice as well. That's a really good one, isn't it?
Yeah, that's such a good one, especially if like for the summer. That's such a nice one. Like I've seen you can do like ice painting where yeah, you like fill up the ice tray and then you put a little like drop of paint into each one and then you freeze it and put like what they call, you know, like sticks in it, and then you can just give your kids paper like in the sun and then they can paint with them. That's quite a cool one.
Wow, that's such a good idea.
So yeah, there's loads of ideas. I think there's like 30 rainy day hacks in it just to like keep you going. And when I was making it, I was like, this is amazing, because I know I'll be able to just grab this off the shelf and be like, what can we do? And there'll just be all the ideas right there. You know, sometimes you forget. You're like, what can we do?
Yeah.
So those are a few of them.
And something else that was interesting that you touched upon was kind of like how a tidy house equals a calm mind. How do you kind of keep up your sense of style and sense of self as a parent in your house?
Yeah, it's so hard. Like, but especially when you have little ones, and even when I look back on my earlier videos, like my house is a total mess. Like you can't even see the kitchen surfaces because it's just all going on. So if you have young kids, I would never like beat yourself up about it, because you will have a clean house very soon. Like soon enough, they're out of a high chair and, you know, you've got that back. But for me, I really do. Cleaning to me sometimes feels like me time, because I'm being productive, but I can often, like, you know, pop on a podcast or, you know, something to listen to, and I can just like clean, and it honestly feels a little bit like therapy for me. But to keep the day-to-day clean, again, I have like a really simple morning cleaning routine, which is like five things, and then in the evening as well. And I just find if I do those five things every day, that it just really helps us to keep on top of everything.
What are those five things?
Well, so in the morning, I always wake up, I go down and I'll empty the dishwasher. And I normally empty the dishwasher. Like I normally try to, I make it a race. So I try to empty the dishwasher quicker than either the kettle or the toaster.
Wow.
So I'm like, just anything to speed you up. So I'll like put on toast for the kids and I'm like, come on, I can empty this before it pops back up again in 3 minutes or whatever. So I do that. And then after breakfast, I'll always like clean the surfaces, you know, check the floors. That's one of them. And then I'll always put a load of laundry on as well, because I know some people love to have like, oh, you know, Saturday is like laundry day. But for us as a family of five, I just feel like if I can do like one load a day, sounds like a lot, but we have so many clothes. If I can do like one load a day, then I'm just on top of it. So yeah, I'll always like put that on. And then in my evening routine, I'll make sure to put it away, because I feel like that's the part that a lot of people fall down on. It's like you can wash it, you can dry it, but can you put it away? Like,
yeah, it's the I totally agree.
It is, isn't it? You're like, it's just sat there for however long.
Yeah.
But again, now my kids are older, like when they're in the bath, I can walk away and put their stuff away. So it just, it all gets so much easier. Mm. But yeah, if I just like, oh, and make the beds, that's the only other one. But like my kids, they make their own beds now. But yeah, if I can do those five things, like the house, by the time we go to the school run or I start my day, like, it's almost like it's kind of, you know, livable, it's clean, you know, it's pretty good.
It's a really good tip, actually. So what else do you do to kind of prioritize yourself and look after your own well-being?
Yeah, it's so tricky, isn't it? And I think, like, for me, all of my family live in Canada. So
I did notice an accent, I think.
Yeah, you can kind of just hear a little bit.
A little bit here.
For like a long time, but my family, they moved back when I was like 22. And I know so many just from my subscribers writing to me saying, like, I have no family around as well, like it's so hard. And I do think it is extra hard when you don't have that support network around you. But So it's more about like finding pockets of time, you know, like in nap times, or obviously my kids are at school now, so I try to walk the dog, like love doing stuff like that, or, you know, get a beauty treatment, or, you know, make time for myself in that way. But yeah. I do appreciate that it's so tricky sometimes. But even if it's like watching that trash show that you want to watch, like,
absolutely, yeah,
you need to recharge, because, you know, I think often mums, we're just doing everything for everyone, and then we just get forgotten about and we burn out. So yeah, it is really important, like, you know, to make that time if you don't have someone supportive saying, oh, I'll have the kids for you or whatever.
And you mentioned earlier on about it getting lonely sometimes as a parent.
Yes.
What do you suggest to kind of tackle that?
I used to, because I found it, especially in the early days, I was the first person in my friendship group to have a baby, the first person in my family to have a baby. So I was like off work, but I felt really like, oh, like no one really knows what I'm going through. And, you know, you almost feel like, oh, no one really cares, but they do. But you just feel like in this sort of place.
So yeah, and everyone's got their own stuff going on.
Exactly. And then, or people would be like, oh, let's go for lunch, and you'd know, like, oh, that might be a nightmare because it's right. Nap time, and they're gonna make a mess, and they're gonna scream, and they're gonna, so I would say that, like, definitely try and find your own community. Like doing things like NCT was so great for me, because then instantly I had friends that had babies the exact same age, and we could meet up and we could trade notes, and yeah, that was an amazing thing to do. But also I would try and get out every single day. So sometimes it can be hard with a baby, which sounds silly, but it would be so hard to just like get them set up, get the bag ready, and get yourself sorted and get out the door. It would take me hours sometimes. But if I could just go to like a play group, a soft play, even a coffee shop, I just feel so much better for it. And then especially play groups, like you meet other mums who are like-minded, and then you can make friends. I've actually seen so many reels that are so funny about making mum friends. It's almost like dating. Like,
well, how do you do that? How do you approach it?
It's so tricky. Like, you might get talking to someone and they'd be like, oh, so can I have your number? And you feel like all nervous, and it's like this really awkward thing. But I think like when you start going to play groups, you do, like, you can see what mums are like, similar to you, similar parenting styles, and you do want to hang out with them.
Right.
So yeah, I think it's great if you're like, if your kids get on, and then it's easier. But yeah, I would try to get out every day. And obviously for me, I started making YouTube videos, literally reaching out for a community. So I know social media gets a bad rap sometimes, but I felt so much support, so much love.
Yeah, totally.
You know, yeah, on social media, or I could ask questions. I'd be like, guys, he's teething, what's the best products? And, you know, people are keen to help. They'd be like, oh, have you tried this, have you tried that, and you'd have all these ideas. So I personally loved the social media side of things as well. I actually found it really helpful.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah.
And when you, or if you are struggling, where do you turn? Do you turn to that group of friends? Or is there anything else you suggest for new kind of mums?
Yeah, I think it's funny looking back, because when I had a very young baby, I would have said, oh, I was absolutely fine, like there was nothing wrong with me. But now looking back, I think, oh, actually, I don't know if my mental health was completely okay at that time. I used to have loads of intrusive thoughts when mine were really little. And now I was talking to someone about this, and someone said, oh, that sounds like postpartum OCD, when, you know, you're constantly thinking something terrible is going to happen to them. I actually think like an amount of anxiety in early motherhood is a good natural thing, because obviously it's nature's way of thinking, you know, are they breathing, you know, you doing everything for them. So I think a little bit of anxiety is not a terrible thing.
It's natural, yeah.
It's like a natural, like I think every mother will, you know, hang over the cop watching them breathe. I think that is like a normal thing to do, even though you seem like a crazy person at the time. But for me, like if I would go out for the day with my baby, sometimes I'd have these horrible thoughts that, like, you know, they were going to get kidnapped or they were going to get taken. Like, I actually think looking back, I might have had something going on, and I didn't speak to anyone about it. I didn't tell anyone about it. Mm-hmm. So I would say, you know, any worries, if it's like breastfeeding or mental health issues, I would definitely speak to someone about it, whether it be a health professional, your doctor, a friend, someone like that. Because, you know, a lot of the time you can get help, and especially with things like breastfeeding, like the sooner you get the help, the easier it's going to be. So yeah, I would definitely say, you know, speak to someone and you will come back again. Like,
yeah, and I think, it's so common, isn't it?
Yeah, and your hormones are going mental and you haven't slept. And, you know, I think there's just so much at play that, you know, it is really hard to be like the old you, which in itself is, you know, sad and frustrating. I would definitely say, like, you know, it's not just you, but I think a lot of mothers are still scared to, you know, in your health check say, oh, I've been having these really intrusive thoughts about blah blah blah, blah. But actually I think it's quite common, having now spoken to so many people and thinking about it. They could have said to me, oh, you know, have you tried this, have you tried that, and it might have actually helped.
It's interesting you said about the old you. Do you think you ever go back to that, or do you think you're a kind of renewed you?
Yeah, I think I'm actually like a different me, but different, like maybe a better me.
That's great,
Yeah, because children are so enriching and, you know, they really put into focus what's important and really what's not important. Like often now in my day-to-day, things that maybe would have upset me when I'm younger, I'm like, eh, well, okay. Like, it's not the end of the world because, you know, there's more important things, like, are my kids okay? Is everyone healthy? Like, that's the main thing nowadays. So I think definitely, you know, it's made everything, you know, it's enriched everything and made it better. But now that mine are older, I definitely have more time to, you know, be myself again and, you know, focus on my career. So it definitely comes back. It's just, you know, when you're in the early days, you just can't imagine it ever being any different. Yeah. You can't see how it's going to get easier, but then it just really does get a lot easier. And now, like, you know, my older boys are like, they'll just put themselves to bed and they'll be like, my, you know, night, mom, like, bye. And I'm like, oh God, they don't really need me anymore.
They have a sad feeling.
Yeah. You're like, yeah. Oh, but I think they will always need you. Like, even, I don't know about you, but I would still like call my mom about stuff now and I'm 40. Oh, so yeah. So yeah, I think that will never go away.
Oh, that's lovely. That's a really nice message actually to end this podcast on.
Yeah, there it is. You will come back.
Yeah. Do you have any exciting things coming up in the summer? Any holidays or anything?
I am so excited. We're going on holiday and we're going back to where we went on honeymoon, but we're taking the kids.
Oh, wow. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so we're going to Bali. So it's going to be the longest flight. Yeah. Yes, I'm super excited. But it's going to be like an 18-hour journey with the three kids. But I think it'll be worth it. I think it's going to be really fun. And
we'll have to do another podcast after you get back.
Yeah. How did it actually go?
Oh, well, sounds amazing. And like, you've got lots going on.
Yeah, thank you. Well, can't wait.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. It's been really eye-opening and interesting. I'm sure there's lots of things parents can learn from you.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. And do join us again for another episode of All Things Early Years.
Thanks for joining us and to our guest today. Tune in next month. And in the meantime, pop over to our website and follow us on social media.
Kids Planet, working together to inspire your world.